Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're coming to give God the highest praise on today. Hallelujah. Well, I thank God for you joining us this evening for the Valerie Welch Ministries. As always, I'm delighted that you stopped by to hear what the Spirit is saying concerning the Word of God. We thank you tonight for your diligence. We thank you tonight for your consistency. We thank you tonight for being God's child. And if you don't know whether you are tonight, we bless God that you find a church home to get into and allow the Word of God to be poured into you, because God has need of you. God has need of you. So I do thank you for listening. I thank you for downloading this message. I thank you, Father God, for those that are listening tonight and those that will listen throughout the weeks. I thank you. I do not take it for granted that you have the time or you set specific time aside to listen to Valerie Welch Ministries on Thursday nights at 9:30. So I just wanted to send a special shout out to my consistent listeners. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord God, that as I continue to decrease, Father God, you will forevermore increase in my life. Holy Spirit, I thank you for having gone before me, paving the way, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for this word to be executed on tonight. Father, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Illuminate the scriptures. Take my tongue. Take control of my tongue. And you say what you want to say, Father. Even if it's not on my notes, Lord God, which I have very few tonight, Holy Ghost, I need you. I need you to take control concerning this message. Bless every listener. Bless every person that's going to download this message. Bless their homes. Bless their jobs. Bless their finances. Bless their children. Make every crooked path straight in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And we bless God. Well, tonight's message is entitled, Did God Change His Mind? And I already know this is going to be a teaching message tonight. So really, unless the Holy Ghost does a different thing with me, I know that this is going to be a teaching message so that you'll be able to clearly hear what the Spirit is saying concerning, did God change his mind? If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Amen, amen. And it reads as thus, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I think that verse is very clear. I believe there's no question of what God thinks about certain things. I'm going to read it one more time, my brothers and sisters. Hear what the Spirit is saying, not what Valerie is saying. Hear what the Word of God is saying. It's saying, Know ye not, my brothers and sisters, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It says, Be not deceived. Don't deceive yourselves, that neither fornicators, those that have sex outside of marriage, nor idolaters, those that actually put anything and everything above God, make him secondary and not primary, nor adulterers, we know what that is, having sex or fornication with someone that's not your husband or your wife, nor the effeminate, we know what that is. We're dealing with that right now. We're talking about the homosexual. We're talking about those. We're talking about the nor the abusers of themselves with mankind. We're talking about thieves, nor covetous. You know, everything that God gave us, it belongs to him. So when he talks about you being covetous and you're not giving God his praise and not giving him his glory for the things that he has given us, and then also you begin to covet things, you begin to covet people, God is not pleased with that. He says, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. My brothers and sisters, I'm asking you a question tonight. Did God change his mind? Did he change his mind? Well, first of all, in this teaching lesson tonight, let's break it down. I'm going to tell you, what is the definition of sin? We all talk about sin. We always say sin is this and sin is that. But what is the actual definition of sin? Well, I'm going to tell you. Sin is described in the Bible as transgression of the law of God. It also is a rebellion against God. Sin had its beginning with Lucifer. Sin, my brothers and sisters, I'll say it again, is it described in the Bible as a transgression of the law of God and rebellion against God. That's what sin is. So now how do we know what sin is? Because it's a transgression against the law of God. So we'll take it even further. Now, what is a transgression? A transgression is an act that goes against a law, rule, or code of conduct. It is an offense. A transgression is an offense to God, my brothers and sisters. It has gone against the law. It has disregarded the rule or the code of conduct, and it has transgressed the law and has caused an offense. Do you hear what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters? Has God changed his mind? I mean, you can say, well, Minister Valerie, all those things are passed away. You know, all those things that, no, they don't pertain to us anymore. We're not under the law. Oh, but my brothers and sisters, I have a revelation for you for that. Stay with me. Stay with me concerning that very thing. Oh, we're not under the law. Stay with me concerning that. But before I get there, let's talk about something right now. Why was it that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Why did he do that? If God is okay with homosexuality and all manners of immoral conduct, we're not just going to harp on homosexuality, but we're going to harp on all sense of immoral conduct. Why did he destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Have you ever thought about that? Why did God destroy that city? I'm going to read something to you. My God, I wanted to read that to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, why God destroyed them, that when the angels came, the two men came, and they were walking down the street, and the man of the house met them and said, please, sirs, don't sleep out here. He didn't tell them what was happening in that city, but he said, please, sirs, don't sleep out here. And he said, well, yes, I am. They said, yes, I am going to sleep out here. But the man of the house convinced the angels to go into the house. The two men that came were angels, and the men of the town came to the door, and they asked for the two angels. They told the man of the house, let us in, because we want to have our way with these men. The man of the house pleaded, please go away. I have two daughters that have known no man. I'll give you them, but please leave these two men alone. The angels of the Lord brought him back inside, because he stepped outside to say that. The angels of the Lord brought him in the house, and he says, who else do you have in this house? Get your sons, get your daughters, anybody that you want to be spared, because the Lord is going to destroy this city. So my question to you, my brothers and sisters, did God change his mind about the immorality, the homosexual sin, the sins, the lust, the fornication, all of these things that are so rampant in our communities, in our lives, in our society today? Did God change his mind concerning that standard? My brothers and sisters, where is the standard in the body of Christ? I have taught this message before. If we were to stand side by side with someone that does not know God, would they be able to tell the difference? Is your life, is your character, is your countenance of such that when they look upon you, they say, that is a man or woman of God? Where is the standard in the body of Christ? You can't say, if you know the word and if you read the Bible and if you study, you cannot say that there was not radical things taking place between those that love the Lord and that were called according to his purpose and the rest of them. Because God has called us a peculiar people. He says, I designed you to be different. I designed you to stand out. And sometimes standing out means walking alone. Sometimes standing out is in opposition of that which has been decreed and declared as law of the land. Now, I'll get into that about the governing laws, because God did tell us. But then there are exceptions. And I'm going to break that down, because we're going to come against the mindset of people and just randomly saying, oh, sin is sin. Oh, sin is just the same as if you were lying. Homosexuality is just the same as if you were just lying. Because my brothers and sisters, sin is sin. I hear so many people say that. They say it's no, there's no greater sin. But guess what? There are different levels of sin. In case nobody ever told you, excuse me, there are different levels of sin. There's called sin, and then there are called abominations. Let me be clear. There is a difference in the hierarchy of sin. Yes, it's all sin, but there is a hierarchy involved. Do you hear what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters? So when God talks about an abomination, what does he mean? What does he mean when the Bible talks about that God considers certain things an abomination? An abomination means this: a thing that causes disgust or hatred. A thing that causes disgust or hatred. Everybody always wants to portray that we have a loving God and he loves everybody, but we also have a God of judgment. We also have a God of wrath. And there are things that he specifically outlined that he hates. He calls them an abomination. He says, no, I'm not going to even equal and call them a sin. They are an abomination. And I'm going to take you there. In case you didn't know what God was referring to when he was talking about abominations, they are specifically spelled out. And we're going to talk about those tonight, my brothers and sisters. There are things that are called abominations. And God has not changed his mind about those things. Do you hear what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters? Hallelujah. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things that the Lord hates, and yet seven are an abomination unto him. Let's make it clear. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination. You just sit around conjuring up evil things to do to people. Feet that be swift and running to be mischievous, always getting into something, causing trouble. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren, my brothers and sisters. And the other one is the one when it talks about laying with mankind. God is not pleased. He considers these things an abomination. And if you'll just bear with me, I'm going to go with that scripture. It seems to have gone off my screen, but God is going to have his way here tonight. We're not going to be dealing with what the limitations of a computer. No, we're going to get this in, because I've talked about this before, but, you know, it's very, very pressed upon me to make it clear, my brothers and sisters, that yes, we are under the laws of the land, but also we are under the hierarchy of God. And there was resistance when it came to the things of God and the things of man. My question to you is that if this society, this world that we live in, if they legislated that, you know, you can marry your mother or you can marry your father and they call it legal here, but that would be an abomination to God, it's an incestuous thing, what are you going to do? Well, they said it's all right in the law, so I guess it's all right with everything else. My brothers and sisters, where is the standard? Where is the standard in your life? Where is the standard in your home? Where is the standard on your job? Is your mouth the same mouth like the sinner in the street that doesn't know God? Is your mouth backbiting? Is your mouth running people down, but you say you're a child of God? Is that it? So if they stood beside you, would they be able to tell, okay, now which one says they love the Father? I mean, they dressing the same. Oh, Holy Ghost, yeah, that's not even a note. They dressing the same. They sound the same. They're doing the same things. Okay, now who's the difference? One says with their mouth, oh, I love Jesus. But that's why the Bible says that they will cry out to me and say, Lord, Lord, have I not cast out devils in your name and laid hands on the sick, and they shall recover? And God's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Because God says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. This thing is a lonely walk, my brothers and sisters. I know we desire friendship. I know we desire companionship. But I know we desire all these things because we are in this flesh. But there has to be a distinction amongst God's people. Do you hear what I'm saying? There has to be a distinction between God's people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bear with me while I get the scripture. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bring it right back up. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. It says in Leviticus 18 and 22, you shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. God called it what? He said it is an abomination. No, he didn't just say it was a sin, my brothers and sisters. He said it was an abomination. Leviticus 20 and 13 says that if there is a man who lies with a male as though he lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act, and they shall surely be put to death. Because their blood guiltiness is upon them. One more, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And this is our primary scripture tonight. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, or adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals shall inherit the kingdom of God. And Romans 1:26-28 states, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passion. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. 27, and in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons, that means your own body, the due penalty of this error. And 28 says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not proper. So let me ask you, my brothers and sisters, has God changed his mind? Has God changed his mind? Legislature has changed their mind. The Senate and the government has changed their mind. But what about God? Has he changed his? No, he has not concerning these things. My brothers and sisters, when we are turned over to a reprobate mind, that means we are just lawless. That means we are governing ourselves. That means God is outside. He is nowhere involved in what we're doing. That is the worst thing. That is the worst fate a Christian or anybody else can suffer when God turns his back on you. For a temporary pleasure, we allow God to turn his back on us. Be careful, my brothers and sisters. Be careful, because God is soon to return. And please do not get caught up into the things of this world. Because he says, I need you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't need you to stay the same. I'm waiting for the manifestations of the sons and the daughters to inhabit this earth. I need you to rise up and be above the depravity of this nation. And my brothers and sisters. It's time out for laying low. It's time out. It's time to cry loud and spare not against the unrighteousness that's going on in this land. Hallelujah. And we do have a right to do that. But we understand, like I was talking to my sister and I was talking to some other people, when you really read about what the 501c3 really does, you know, it came as a good thing in the guise of a good thing. Oh, it's going to help the church and it's going to allow them to get tax write-off and all these sorts of things. But guess what? It also silences the church. See, without doing our due diligence and doing our due research, we're just following along. Well, that church got it in. This church got it in. This business got it in. We don't understand the magnitude of we running and trying to get something for free. Come on, Holy Ghost. There's a price to pay for everything. There's a price to pay for everything. And when we fall short of doing what's required of us as the children of the living God, there's a penalty and a price to pay. But the price you don't want to pay is for God to turn his back on us. Do you hear what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters? I'm trying to get this point across that God hasn't changed his mind. I mean, I've had people say, you know, just sin is sin. And I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to debate with you. I'm going to let you have that. But you know what? I'm going to give you the word of God. I'm going to give you the word of God. I'm not going to argue with you, but I'm going to give you the word of God. There is a distinction among the different types of sin. There is sin, Galatians 5:19. I can read those too. But when he talks about the seven things that he considers an abomination, and I'm sorry to say it, my brothers and sisters, I'm sorry if you don't like what I'm saying, but homosexuality is one of them. Being effeminate, man lying with man, going against the natural use. That's what he's talking about, the natural use. Hallelujah. Turn with me. Get your Bible. Get with your Bible because we're going to break it down even more. Hallelujah. Glory come to God. Get your Bibles and turn to Galatians 5:19. Now we're going to talk about some sins that God specifically mentioned. There are a whole lot of sins that go along in this life, but there are some that he specifically mentioned that I want you to take heed to because he doesn't like these either. Hallelujah. He doesn't like these either. Go with me to Galatians 5:19-21. Glory to God. Is your flesh worth losing out on the privilege of the kingdom of God? I don't know who I have on the line tonight. I don't know if I have just believers. Or I don't know if someone that doesn't know God just happened to tune in. But is it worth losing our salvation? Is it worth losing our relationship with God for temporary pleasure? Is it worth it? The acts of the flesh. Go with me. Galatians 5:19-21. And it reads as thus. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that was the NIV version. Let me bring up the King James version. Let me give it a little more oomph with the King James. This is what it says in the King James Version. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Everybody can see it, the works of the flesh. The flesh is just out there. The flesh wants what it wants. It's manifesting itself. And this, which it, and these are the things that the flesh likes to manifest. Adultery. You don't belong to me, but I'm gonna get laid with you anyway. Fornication. You still don't belong to me, but I'm going to lay with you anyway. Uncleanliness. Lasciviousness. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. Do you not know, my brothers and sisters, if you're not anchored in the word of God and all of this stuff that's being flung out in the universe and we got heresy going on, somebody saying this, they all off the mark concerning the word of God. They begin to humanize the word of God. It's now according to my humanistic feelings. I have Lord, I made a covenant with myself. So I'm going to abide by what feels right to me. I'm going to abide by what feels right for me to do. I don't know about you. I don't know about what this word says, but I know my humanistic philosophy says that if it feels right, then it must be right. Come on, Holy Ghost. We have made even ourselves an idol. That's what I hear the Lord saying. You've made yourself an idol. You decided what you were going to live and abide by versus my word. Oh, my God. Some of us don't understand that we said, well, God, I'm trying to do right and I'm trying to do this. And but God said, no, you have made yourself a God and not in a good way. We're not talking about little G's. That's not what we're talking about. Those that are insiders know what I'm talking about. We're not talking about the little G's where God has given us power on this earth. We can defend, declare, and it shall be so because we are in the likeness of God because we are joined heirs to the throne. No, no, no. I'm not talking about the little G. I'm talking about the God that you've made of yourself for self-worship. For self-worship. I'm going to worship this flesh. I'm going to worship what feels right. I'm going to drink it. I'm going to smoke it. I'm going to lay with him. I'm going to lay with her. As a matter of fact, I ain't got to decide which one I am because now they call it bisexual. I don't even have to determine which one I like. I'm just going to like whatever I like. The devil is a liar. God hasn't changed his mind concerning these things. My brothers and sisters, and I'm going to take you all the way to Revelation. We can talk about this all night. We can go from Genesis. We can go to Exodus. We can go to Leviticus. We can go to Deuteronomy. We can go through all of the chapters. And you say, well, because you always have someone trying to say, well, that's just in the Old Testament. We're not in the Old Testament anymore. Well, guess what? What does it say in Revelation 21 and 8? Go with me to Revelation chapter 21, verses 8. This is at the end of the Bible. This is at the end of the thing. And this is what it says. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers and the sorcerers, the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Now, I ask you again, did God change his mind concerning certain things? I'm not saying that he never did. We know that there was, and let me help somebody out here. I understand that when the prophet came and told Hezekiah that he was going to die, and Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he prayed, and he interceded, and he pleaded with God. God changed his mind concerning killing him at that time. So I'm not saying that God doesn't change a thing, but what I'm saying, there are certain things he is steadfast on. From Genesis to Revelation, my brothers and sisters. So is there any question about what God's mindset is about the law that was just passed by the Supreme Court? I believe your best bet is to walk according to the statutes of the Word of God. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you for listening tonight. I thank you for this word, oh God. I thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you allowed me to articulate it, Father God, that it was understood and it was impressed upon the hearts of men that those who are listening tonight and those that will download this message, oh God, in the name of Jesus, because it is not our desire to see any man lost. It is not our desire to see any man out there on a limb, Father God, to die and to go to hell because we refuse to tell them what thus saith the Lord. I'd rather you like me and don't want to be in my company, but you know I'm going to tell you the truth. I'd rather you stay away from me because you don't want to hear what I got to say than me holding my mouth and cause you to bust hell wide open because I just wanted to be your friend. The devil is a liar. I love you too much, and I love God's people too much to keep my mouth shut concerning truth. And truth was revealed tonight through the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father God. I thank you for those that are listening. I thank you for those that will download this message. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and we bless God. See you next week. Oh, no, I'm out of town next week. I will see you the following week. Be blessed.